For many couples, they have tried to work things out on their own, but in difficult moments, there might still be a storm. A storm? Where are you getting that from? Stupid. A storm? Could be a storm, I don't know.
Okay. Well, hey, hey, hey.
Hey. What's up?
It's been a long time.
Oh,
okay. I swear we're still here, though.
I swear.
We really are. No, we've really just had conflicting schedule issues. I mean,
it's been my fault, guys. Sorry. I will take the blame.
I mean, if she wants to take it, I'm not fighting for it, but I didn't feel that way. No, we've just both had a lot going on. She's been on vacation. I'm about to go out of town. Plus work and just everything else going on.
Life. Guys, we've been lifing.
We've been lifing. Adulting. You guys know how much it
sucks.
Sucks. Okay.
But we're back. And we're ready to talk about this week's episode. We're covering mental illness and relationships. Because if you remember, in episode 3, we talked about toxic relationships and how they can affect your mental health. So we're just piggybacking. Just, I think you were laughing and I was talking at the same time. So we're just going to piggyback off that episode. So without further ado, get your drink.
Grab your snack.
And get comfortable.
And let's get into it. We're not farting, that's a car. Okay, so nearly half of all adults experience a mental illness at least once in their lifetime. Research and practical experiences tell us that mental illness can cause a person to have decreased quality of life, decreased productivity and employment, and even impaired physical health. A mental illness, including post-traumatic stress disorder, major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorders, and alcoholism, can also affect a person's relationships. Honestly, there's probably no relationship more affected by mental illness than the intimate relationship between partners. These are the people you spend the most time with, right? The good news is, it's possible to be in a healthy, loving, and long-term relationship with someone who has a mental illness. And if this is relevant to you, just be aware of the unique challenges that you and your partner may face, and utilize resources and strategies that will help you grow and nurture the relationship.
So, should you tell your partner about your mental illness? Some individuals may experience hesitancies or fear of disclosure to their partner due to the continued stigma surrounding mental illness. Communication is key to having a healthy, positive relationship despite mental health struggles. An expert shares some advice for navigating relationships while managing mental well-being. Healthy relationships can be a great support system and a positive resource, but your decision to disclose is up to you. Sometimes we have our own stigma associated with disclosing our mental health struggles. We hesitate to share with our partner for fear of pushing them away. However, a healthy relationship needs trust and communication. You may not want to disclose right away, but it is something to consider if you want to take the relationship with that person to the next level. For those who may not experience the same mental health struggles as you, education and understanding are critical. It can be helpful for them to understand the steps being taken to treat your mental health condition, and this can help to normalize it and get insight and awareness of your mental health illness.
So we're going to tell you guys a few ways that mental illness can affect intimate relationships, and some of these are going to be kind of obvious. The issues we're about to share with you are common with couples affected by mental illness. No two relationships are the exact same, so it's important to take into context your unique relationship so you'll be able to identify where you may need additional guidance. So, number one, shame, guilt, and resentment. Having a mental illness is hard enough, but the stigma associated with mental health conditions can add an extra layer of stress for both partners. The person with a mental illness may feel shame, embarrassment, or guilt about their condition. They may try to hide their symptoms or fail to seek the help that they really need. Meanwhile, their partner is going to feel confused and frustrated by their inability to help. In some cases, a person with depression or anxiety may find it very difficult to follow through with household tasks. They have limited emotional availability, they struggle to maintain employment, and sometimes lack the desires to socialize at all. For their partner, these behaviors and challenges can put a major strain on the relationship, which can lead to feelings of disappointment, rejection, and just complete disconnect from your partner.
The second way that mental illness can affect a relationship is intimacy problems. For example, depression symptoms can leave a person disinterested in relationships or sex in general, either as a result of the condition itself or as a result of their treatment. Decreased libido is a common side effect of antidepressant medications. If you notice your medication affects you in these ways, talk to your prescriber, but do not stop taking your medication. Many people with mental health conditions may feel inadequate and have performance anxiety and low self-esteem. For both partners, this can lead to a decreased opportunity for bonding and result in unmet needs. Explaining how these symptoms may impact you and defining boundaries can help provide a safe space for intimacy for the both of you.
So number three, the risk of codependent behaviors. Codependency is an unhealthy relationship pattern that manifests as one partner enabling another person's poor mental health, addiction, or coping strategies. The partner of a person with mental illness may start to derive their self-worth from the degree to which they are needed or how much they're able to take care of their loved ones. In extreme cases, codependency can increase the risk of abusive behaviors, including manipulation, name-calling, or other unhealthy dynamics. Knowing how to distinguish the need to encourage and support from the codependent nature of managing the other person's symptoms will help a lot.
And number four, disrupted communication. Someone with a mental illness not only has the illness to cope with, but also overwhelming waves of emotions to address. Oftentimes, it is difficult for the affected partner to articulate how he or she is feeling, or they may downplay what is really going on out of fear of being abandoned and feelings of guilt. For the partner of the individual affected by the mental illness, communications can become strained and superficial, and as he or she realizes that the effects of the mental illness are not their significant other's fault, feelings of guilt can develop and fester. And lastly, it's important for you and your significant other to communicate openly and to keep everything as transparent as possible. There's nothing worse for a relationship than one or both partners not having a sense of what's really going on. Mm.
So what other ways will mental illness affect a romantic relationship? Mental illnesses may affect other aspects of your relationships as well. Sometimes our mental health symptoms can make us feel lethargic, impact our ability to express empathy, or cause feelings of anxiety and isolation. Sometimes these symptoms can cause codependency or even resentment towards our partner. As you develop a deeper relationship, make sure you continue conversations around your mental health. This is super, super important. Communication is vital for a better understanding of both people's needs during acute episodes and how to hold each other accountable. Set healthy boundaries and ask for help when it's needed. We're back. For part two, we're going to dive into the signs, tips, and resources for partners living with someone that has a mental illness.
So here are some signs your partner may have an undiagnosed mental illness. And please keep in mind, we are not doctors, therapists, psychiatrists of any sort. A lot of this is research that we've done, and we just want to kind of compile it all together in one space for you to hopefully give you some insight and some information.
Yes, we're not.
we are not
medical doctors.
No. So there's no one test that can determine whether you or your partner has a mental illness, but each mental health disorder does have its own unique set of symptoms. You can get a good idea of whether you have one based on these physical and mental signs. Excessive sadness, trouble sleeping or feeling tired, strong feelings of anger or irritability, having suicidal thoughts, extreme mood swings, example, going from feeling depressed to feeling euphoric very quickly, having hallucinations or delusions, or difficulty perceiving reality around you, isolation from your friends and even family, withdrawing from social activities, changes in sex drive, and changes in appetite. Signs of irritability or laziness in your partner might seem like an ordinary character flaw, but they could also be signs of mental illness. Make sure to observe your partner closely and talk to your doctor if any behaviors seem out of the ordinary. Now, we're not saying just like constantly just stare at your partner and watch them and like never let them out of your sight. But you know when we say observe, you know what's different about your partner and what's not.
So some risk factors for developing a mental illness. Some people can be predisposed to having a mental illness. Mental health disorders aren't always preventable, but by attending therapy or another form of counseling, you can prevent existing disorders from getting worse. So a few risk factors for developing mental health disorders include family history of mental illness, child abuse or neglect, traumatic experiences like sexual assault or military combat, having a previous mental illness, a lack of healthy relationships, and stressful life situations like divorce or financial problems. Now, the one that says traumatic experiences like sexual assault or military combat, I realize that those two are like
night and day.
Yes, very different from each other, but we've talked in a previous episode, I believe, how it is proven that rape victims can suffer from PTSD in the same way that a soldier would coming home.
Absolutely.
So.
Now, here are some ways to deal with mental illness in a partner. Mental health disorders like depression, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and even PTSD can produce symptoms in someone that are frustrating for someone else to deal with. Although there are various challenges associated with living with someone with mental illness, there are techniques you can put into practice to make life easier for you and your partner. So number one, educate yourself. Learn about the condition together. This helps you gain a better understanding of it and clues you into how symptoms manifest in your marriage and your partnership. One of the best things you can do when living with a partner or spouse with a mental illness is to learn about it and understand it, or do your best to. Living with someone who has bipolar disorder, for example, can pose some difficulties since symptoms of manic depression are not always visible. To better understand what your spouse is dealing with, you should research symptoms of their mental illness, whether they include severe ones like panic attacks or mild ones like difficulty concentrating. You should also talk with your spouse about their personal experience with their disorder. In addition to talking with your partner, seek the advice of a medical professional and/or counselor who specializes in your partner's mental illness. Since there can be a wealth of misinformation on the internet, make sure to refer to a trusted website and organization like Mental Health America, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance.
Number two, focus on your relationship outside of mental illness. Maintain the good parts of your marriage that don't have to do with your partner's mental illness. The deep connection you have, spending quality time together, and expressing your love for each other. It's easy for mental illness to consume a relationship, but by maintaining open communication and working on your relationship every single day, you'll leave no room for secrets or surprises.
Number three, practice your communication skills. Speak openly and honestly about your feelings, needs, and concerns. Use active listening skills like seeking understanding, asking clarifying questions, and using engaged body language. This could mean eye contact, a gentle touch, and just showing interest in general. Ask your spouse what you can do to help them with their mental illness. It's not uncommon to feel like you're walking on eggshells with your partner, worrying that you might say the wrong thing that will just set them off. That's anybody in general. When your partner does something that hurts you, even if they did not mean it, make sure to talk to them about it afterward. Work on your relationship the way you would normally if the mental illness was not involved. You also shouldn't become your partner's enabler or their therapist. As much as you'll want to support your partner, they also need to be getting the proper treatment that will help them manage their condition. People with mental illness are responsible for their own treatment and well-being, so do not be their crutch. However, you still want to be supportive and offer comfort when your partner is recovering from distressing symptoms or getting treatment.
I think that's the most important out of all these.
Yes.
To be honest. Not being a crutch, but also making the effort to understand.
Absolutely.
You know? Number 4, commit to excellent self-care. And this is just in general. By taking good care of your physical and mental health, you'll be better equipped to support each other and your family. Beneficial acts of self-care include regular exercise, healthy eating, a consistent sleep schedule, what's that? Journaling, and doing hobbies and activities you enjoy.
Number 5, seek professional help. It is not bad. It does not mean you're weak. It does not mean anything other than you need help from a licensed and trained professional. Use whatever resources are relevant to you and within your means. Both couples counseling and individual counseling may be appropriate. There are dozens of support groups for people and families of people with mental illnesses. The National Alliance on Mental Illness and the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance both host regional support groups in which you can discuss how your spouse's mental health disorder has made life difficult for you. You do not have to be alone in your struggle with your partner's mental illness. There are thousands of others who have been through similar situations and can offer you sympathy and/or advice. You may also find it helpful for you and your partner with mental illness to attend couples counseling together so that you can better understand how to navigate your relationship. There are also forums online like Reddit where you can discuss your experiences dealing with a spouse with mental illness.
And number 6, have realistic expectations. You can't demand that someone change who they are, nor expect them to meet all of your needs at all times. This is true for every single relationship in the world. Equally, you shouldn't have to violate your boundaries in order to maintain the relationship. Find a way to compromise and grow so both of you feel safe and supported.
So how do you know when it's time for individual or couples therapy? It's important to be reminded that all relationships have struggles. However, if your symptoms have elevated or you and your partner need extra help for growth in the relationship, it might be a good idea to reach out to mental health experts. For many couples, they have tried to work things out on their own, but in difficult moments, there might still be a strain in the relationship. A couples counselor can help to be a neutral third party to assist in education and growth and to help iron out specific challenges. Essentially, they're there to keep things fair. Fight fairly. Independent therapy for both parties may also benefit to understand how individually we have something going on that we are bringing into the relationship. The better we can be individually, the better we can be in the relationship.
Facts. Having a partner affected by mental health conditions can be navigated in a relationship if both partners have the skills and awareness to cope and communicate through these challenges. This is why a paradigm shift is needed. People should feel empowered to seek help if they and their loved one is struggling with mental health. Mental illness is not a character flaw nor a moral issue. And I'm going to say that again. Mental illness is not a character flaw nor a moral issue, okay? Yes, people need to be held responsible for their actions and behaviors, but they also deserve context, understanding, and support so they can learn how to manage their well-being, heal from past trauma, and honor their partner's experience.
You have to remember that regardless if you're in a relationship or not, the person that you are in a relationship with that may suffer from some sort of mental health disorder or illness probably has dealt with this longer than you may have even known them. Mm-hmm. And for them to share that with you and go through that with you or even recognize it themselves, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Up to that point. And some people, unfortunately, never even get help, never realize that they even have an illness. They just think that this is who I am. So if you're with someone who has acknowledged it, is sharing that information with you, and is willing to try, have the most patience you can. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard regardless, but have patience.
Yeah. And you know, it is 2022, and as much as mental health is talked about, it still feels taboo.
It does.
But it's not.
It's like, ooh.
You know, like, yeah. I feel like it's one of the hottest topics for the last couple years is self-love and mental health. And
which is great.
Right, it is. But I still feel like even when you touch on it, it still almost feels taboo. And, like, people still don't really want to talk about it. And it's honestly really sad that you kind of have to be well off or wealthy to get mental health treatment.
Yeah.
I really wish that it was more accessible for people. But with that being said, there is online forums that you can, I mean, there are 24-hour hotlines that are free to call. So just keep that in mind. I know, like, mental health care is over the top expensive, but we talk about these topics because we want to break the stigma, okay? I don't think mental health is taboo, even though I think society makes it feel like it is. So don't hesitate to reach out and get help. The people that love you and are really in your corner, those are the people that are going to walk with you every step of the way and help you heal. And I think that that's important to have those people and be able to talk to someone. There are a lot of people that don't have a single person to talk to about it.
Right.
You know?
And it's important, we've kind of focused on if you're the person dealing with someone, but if you're the person dealing with the mental illness yourself, be patient with yourself as well, but make sure if you're in a space to do so, make sure you do lean on the people that are around you. Because like Sam said, not everybody has people. So mm-hmm. if you do, utilize them. Don't treat them as just a dumping ground and don't allow them to be your crutch, because that can happen if you get too comfortable, but let them help you. Mm-hmm. You're not weak for asking for help. And if you don't have access to therapist or have insurance to get, because that's hard too. I don't know the name of it right now, but I will post it on Instagram. There is an app. I do believe that you can have 24/7 access to therapists. You can text them. You can talk to them in the app. Or I want to say you can call or email. So we will post all of these resources on our Instagram.
And if you are the one personally suffering with mental illness or mental health issues, we've done a lot of episodes in the past for people that are directly dealing with it. So this is also why we wanted to do this side of it, because there are so many people that are with someone that's dealing with it, and it is hard for the partners too. So we wanted to go ahead and do this spin on it. But if it is you personally, refer back to some of our past episodes. We give a lot of great resources, hotline numbers, all kinds of tips. So definitely go check those out.
Guys, that is all we have for season 3, episode 4. Short and sweet, to the point, but very important to talk about, which this will not be the last time you will hear us talk about mental health of any sort. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah, and we swear, like, co-signed is still going.
Yeah, we're still alive.
We'll be back.
We promise. Pinky promise. Put your pinkies up right now.
Pinky up.
Okay. If you think of any sort of suggestion or topic or question, no matter what it's about, please, 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 you can send us a DM on Instagram and follow us at co.signpodcast. Send us a voice message on Anchor, comment below on one of our posts, however you want to do it. DM us personally if you follow our personal IGs. Get the question, get the topic suggestion to us, and we will cover it. We promise. But as always, we will see you
on the other side.
On the other side.
Because we can't say next week.
Because I can't say next week because I don't know if there's going to be one. I'm just kidding. We will see you in the next episode, guys.
Oh bye.
Oh my God. 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 Oh my God.